I would like to begin by reading two different scriptures. I'd like to begin by reading Luke 9, verses 7 through 9. It says, "Now Herod, the tetrarch, heard of all that was done by him," meaning Jesus, "and he was perplexed, because it was said by some that John had risen from the dead, and by some that Elijah had appeared, and by others that one of the old prophets had risen again. Herod said, 'John I have beheaded, but who is this of whom I hear such things?' So he sought to see him." We'll come back to that scripture in a moment, but now I want to turn our attention to Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. It says that, "When Jesus had concluded all his sayings in the hearings of the people, he entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. So when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that the one for whom he should do this was deserving, for he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, 'Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it.' When Jesus heard of these things, he marveled at him, and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, 'I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel.' And those who were sent, returning to the house, found the servant well, who had been sick." Now let's talk for a second about the centurion. A centurion was a captain in the Roman army who was over 100 men. He had to oversee them. He had worked his way up the ranks. He, as a higher-ranking officer, was highly dedicated to the Roman government and to his superior officers. He was given orders from higher up, and then he gave the orders to his soldiers. When it says in verse 3 that he heard, the Greek meaning of the word heard is to consider what is or has been said, to perceive the sense of what is said. It's one thing to hear what is being said, but the centurion also perceived the sense of what was said about Jesus. He didn't just agree with mental consent, what most people do, but you could say that it got down deep inside of him, to his core being. He had a revelation of who Jesus really is. Peter got this in Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 17. It says, "When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' So they said, 'Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets.' He said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Simon Peter answered and said, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven.'" After spending over 3 years with Jesus, the Father in heaven started to reveal some things to him. He had spent so much time thinking about Jesus that now he started to believe. But the centurion went way beyond that. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." The centurion believed, and you could not change his mind. He knew that Jesus would heal his servant, and not could or might. In Mark 1, verse 41, the leper said to Jesus, "If you want to, you can heal me." Jesus said, "I want to," which means, "I desire and crave to." Jesus, as God's Son, reflected God's will. And God wills for us to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth, as 1 Timothy 2 verse 4 says. Knowing that God can is one thing, but knowing that he desires to and craves to and will is another. This centurion was as convinced as Abraham was of God's desire and ability. Romans chapter 4 says that Abraham was fully persuaded or convinced that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. It did not say that Abraham was just persuaded, but that he was fully persuaded. There was probably a time when Abraham was starting to hear and was just persuaded. Over time and experience with God, he did become fully persuaded or convinced. And being fully convinced will take time. If this were not true, then the Israelites would have been convinced by the signs and wonders that God had done in delivering them from Egypt. In Jesus' earthly ministry, many more would have believed by seeing the miracles that Jesus did. But being fully convinced has never been by sight or feeling, and it never will. Back to Herod, when he heard of Jesus, he had no faith. In fact, he was confused. Any time that we hear of Jesus, but are still confused, then we do not have faith. Faith is a decision that is true. Faith is convinced. How much do we meditate on and believe in the Scripture concerning anything that we are facing to the point that we are convinced that it will happen? Kenneth E. Hagin, a powerful man of God who walked this earth, said that he did not pray for anything until he had meditated upon the Word of God and was fully convinced that he would receive the answer from God for that situation. Now, sometimes he didn't receive exactly what he prayed for, but he did receive an answer every time for each prayer. Sometimes we don't receive exactly what we prayed for because it isn't God's will, or he has something better for us, but we can receive an answer for prayer every time that we pray, if we will meditate upon the Word of God until we are to the point that we are fully convinced, and then pray. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Notice that it says, by hearing and hearing by. It's the part between hearing and hearing that makes the difference. One can hear with the ears and mind, but they have to hear more or deeper in order to hear with the heart, which will then produce faith. The centurion was not just hearing with his ears and believing. Most likely, he had heard before of what Jesus was doing and thought about it over time. Finally, he had a revelation of the truth that Jesus, as God's representative, not only could heal his servant, but that he would. At first, the centurion asked for Jesus to come, but then his faith grew even more, so he asked Jesus to just say the word and his servant would be healed. He recognized that words carried the same amount of authority as one's presence. He knew that orders given from the higher ranks could be sent down and be as authoritative as the actual presence of the higher ranking officer. This is the faith that God is looking for in order to use it as a point of contact so that he can work in this earth and in our lives. God said in Ezekiel 22 verse 30, I look for a man among them who would make up the hedge and stand in the gap for the land, that I should not destroy it. What kind of faith is God going to find in us? An emotional faith that is wavering back and forth like the waves of the sea which are driven with the wind and tossed, as James 1 verse 6 says? Or is he going to find a rock-solid faith as is found in Matthew chapter 7 verses 24 and 25, in which a doer of the word is building their house upon a rock or a good foundation? The key is in the hearing. Jesus said many times, he who has an ear, let him hear. During his earthly ministry, Jesus talked in parables. Parables were used as natural examples in order to try to relate a spiritual truth to the people. This was like a parable in the sense that it was a natural example used in order to teach us of spiritual truth, that the ears of our spirit should hear and understand. It's the truth that God, when he created this natural world with the power from the spirit realm, meant for us to operate our lives with spiritual truths, even when this natural world was corrupted with sin entering into it. The centurion caught hold of this, and his faith was so great that Jesus, in verse 9, marveled at it. He said that he had not seen such great faith, not even in Israel. Here was a Roman officer who had such faith that Jesus was impressed. Another time this happened was when a Syrophoenician woman, whose daughter had an unclean spirit, had heard of him and came asking for Jesus to heal her. This account of her faith is found in Matthew chapter 15 and Mark chapter 7. In Mark chapter 7 verse 25, it says that she heard of Jesus. The Greek word for heard in this verse is the same that was used in Luke 7 verse 3 when it says that the centurion heard of Jesus. Both the Syrophoenician woman and the centurion were Greeks by identification. They were on the outside of God's promises, which were initially meant for Israel, but later ended up being for all of the world, the Greeks included, who would believe on God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Being a Syrophoenician, the woman believed against all natural hope when Jesus said that he must feed the children of Israel. But she said that even the dogs, or the non-Jews, eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table, the Jews. Jesus responded by saying, "O woman, great is your faith," and her daughter was healed. Hearing is so important when it comes to the promises of God, and we are talking about hearing with our spirit also, and not just our physical ears. Because of the sin nature of this world, we, as believers, must reach deeper in order to hear what Jesus is saying. It's one thing to hear a message on Sunday morning or on our way to work through the internet, but it's another thing to hear what God is really saying. Everything that God says is, and should be, taken as a spiritual truth first. If we were to remember that, then every time we hear God's word recited or preached upon, it would reach our spirit much, much faster than if we just heard it with our physical ears and tried to figure it out with our mind. Studying is fine, but we cannot depend upon it to reveal deep truths of God from the Scripture. In John 14, verse 26, Jesus said of the Holy Spirit, "He will teach us all things and bring all things to our remembrance, whatsoever the Lord has said to us." We must be more diligent to let the Holy Spirit teach us what the real truth is in this corrupt and dying world. Only the truths of what God has said will stand forever. There is only one question that I would like to ask you today. Have you heard of Jesus? No, really, have you heard of Jesus? Father, I pray that everyone under the sound of my voice would hear what you have to say, and not just hear with their ears. I pray that they will not just hear, but that they will also act upon it, because it is truth, and it is the only way. Father, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. May we let it shine brightly in our lives and guide us to our eternal home. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.